Yeah, I mean, it could have made a big difference, but you can't control the weather. I think we, most importantly, had to get ourselves to a score where we felt we were in control of the game. We managed to do that. Ben played exceptionally well. Some couple of really good partnerships. And then we threw everything we could at them. Fair play to Australia. They managed to hold on.
The second test was a draw at Lord's. That is the voice of Joe Root, the captain of England, who'd be... would be disappointed. Maybe an opportunity lost with the rain delay at Lord's through the last 5 days. Maybe they could have evened the series up at 1-1 had things gone to plan, I suppose. Cameron White has been good enough to join us in the studio to discuss the second test and the action so far and what it might mean going forward. One of our all-time greats in Australian cricket. Whitey, good morning.
Morning, Huff. How are you going?
Going very well, thanks.
That's why.
Do you get some more sleep when there's rain delays?
A little bit more. But it obviously pushes the night later in, yeah, later, well, or later into the morning, doesn't it? So... yeah, well, geez, the series has just stepped up a notch, hasn't it? Jofra Archer's just brought a new dimension to the whole thing, so that's quick.
That's quick. Tell me what you were thinking as you were watching that all unfold. Before, even before Steve Smith copped those whacks on the elbow and then obviously in the side of the neck, what were you thinking?
Well, I'm still probably, when Steve Smith's batting there and before that spell, you still, I'm looking at Steve Smith just going, what can I come on radio and talk more about Steve Smith, because it's unbelievable, isn't it? It's just 100, then 90. So thank Christ he's playing. So yeah, well, that was my main thought. And then obviously Archer, you know, produces 96 mile an hour in a spell, as Adam's already sort of said, just, you know, with a 70 old. What am I trying to say?
70 over old?
70, yeah, over bold. Ball. Yep, that's it.
An old ball.
Yeah, an old ball, anyway. On a flat, not a flat, but a slow wicket. And so it just really cranked up from there.
You've faced him, and we've talked about it before, but what's it like facing him? Put us in that zone of seeing a guy just casually amble up to the crease and bowl thunderbolts.
Yeah, well, that's where it's probably a bit different, because most of those guys that bowl extremely quick like he does have, you know, they have quite a long run up and, you know, you've got a lot of time to really see it coming sort of thing. But this is totally different. It's just happens very quickly. It's a short run. It's very, you know, it's a quick run. And the thing about his bowling, it's obviously quick, but he's very tall and releases it from a very high point. So it's very steep as well, which is probably the most nastiest thing about the whole thing.
Do you get scared as a batsman?
Because I probably should say no.
I've talked to you about this before, because I got a fright watching Mitchell Johnson from side on, where you sit at Etihad Stadium when he's bowling 152, 153 in a Big Bash game, where you couldn't actually see the ball from side on.
Always looks worse from side on as well when you're sitting there waiting to bat.
You're waiting to bat. Like, do you get scared? Do you get worried about your safety? Do you... what's it like?
Oh, geez. Yeah, you probably, in today's day and age, with probably what's happened, you know, in the past, you sort of, it's in the back of your mind a bit more, no doubt. And obviously when Steve Smith got hit there, that, you know, it's a very, very similar spot to where Phil Hughes unfortunately got hit. So, and that was the first thing that would have come into everyone's mind, I'm sure. But yeah, look, there is that element now that you can get really hurt. So, yeah, when someone's bowling that quick, you've obviously got to be, you know, very sharp and on your game. So, but look, you just have to try and focus on what you need to do to make sure gives you the best chance to sort of make a few runs and obviously not get hurt as well.
Because we were talking about that, BJ, about what you're thinking. And you said, oh, that you don't have time to think. So what do you have time to do?
Just very reactionary, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, well, obviously, you've got lots of time to think. And when someone's bowling like that, you think more, don't you? After the ball's been bowled, or when you're sitting there waiting, you've had, there's lots of things going through your mind, isn't there? So, and then in between balls. But, yeah, like, it's amazing how you think that someone's bowling that fast. You think, how can your body possibly, you know, what is it, 0.6 of a second or half a second or whatever it is to move? But somehow you sort of do. And obviously, some players move quicker than others, and someone like Steve Smith seems to still have a lot of time when someone's bowling that fast. So, yeah, you just try and, you know, implement the same, you know, thought process and body position to try and, you know, to score some runs, and hopefully you're in a decent enough position if it's up around your head.
So you faced Jofra with the white ball,
yep.
But what about him with the red ball? Because you haven't seen much of him with the red ball, and particularly in those conditions.
Yeah, that's right. And it was, you know, it can be a touch gloomy, or especially throughout this game at certain stages as well, which can make it a bit more difficult. So, but yeah, I've only faced him with the white ball. There was a lot of talk, you know, especially from Justin Langer, about how he would go throughout the test match, and it'll be interesting with only a 3-day break between the test 2 and 3, how he will back up. But, yeah, I can't really comment too much other than just obviously what you can see on telly there about his bowling with red ball. And his record's exceptional if you have a look at his county record as well. So let's see how he goes in test 3.
So Steve Smith gets hit on the arm. What do you see change? Because he found himself in a really awkward position when he got hit, which I haven't seen him get into too often, that position.
Yeah, I guess, he goes, when someone's bowling that fast, he sort of, you got to, it's not just as simple as it, like, I'm, you know, I'll get into a position and hook it sort of thing. I think he went into a mindset where he thought, geez, this bloke's bowling real quick. It's almost too quick to, you know, play those certain shots, you know, the hook and the pull off. So he had to go into more of a, you know, defensive sort of mindset where he was getting right back and a lot of weight on the back foot. And then obviously with the, you know, little, some weren't bouncing as much, like that one hit him on the arm as much as what they probably, they weren't as consistent. So, yeah, he just obviously found himself, like, you know, we saw Marnus Labuschagne last night. Just imagine if he wasn't wearing a grill, but Jeff Lawson style. Geez, that would have been brutal as well. So, yeah, it's obviously when someone's bowling that quick, you can't just go, all right, I'm just going to either hook it or tap it around and try and get off strike. It's literally you're in a bit more defensive mindset, trying to survive, see the, you know, wear him down and try and see the fast bowlers spell off. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how it sort of plays out for the rest of the series, and it'll be interesting to see how our fast bowlers sort of react to bowling to Jofra when he gets out to bat. I'd imagine we're going to go extremely hard at him. I'd be surprised if we don't come round the wicket straight away and just give him some of his own sort of medicine back, I reckon. I think we've got no choice.
It seemed half that because of the Lord's slope, that from the end he was bowling at, the ball started to follow the batsman with the angle. So I reckon
that one last night especially, it was like a 150-kilometre off-break, wasn't it? Just seemed straight back into Marnus trying to lean back and avoid and just bang.
So I think they happened a few times that I'm okay here. With the line of the ball, I can just sort of not even need to bother about ducking, and then it just starts following you. That's terrifying.
Yeah, and with that steep bounce of Jofra, it's not as probably short as like someone like, you know, other sort of fast bowlers bowling, you know, bounces. He doesn't, his short ball is actually a touch fuller, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. Yep. That makes sense. It makes it much harder to play.
Yep.
Absolutely. Yeah, so there's a whole lot of his arsenal that makes it difficult to face.
Mm.
I mean, as you say, with a 70 over old ball.
Yeah, no, I'll just leave that one. What's old ball? Old ball.
What's your opinion? What's your opinion on in the next test with the Australian quicks and who misses out, who comes in?
I'm pretty sure James Pattinson will come back in. Who did I leave out? I think Sids has bowled exceptionally well and was very unlucky throughout this test match. Had a lot of drop chances. But do we go super aggressive and just play them all now? Sort of, you know, Pat, Josh, and Paddo back in as well. So I think that might be the lineup.
Well, the fifth quickest pitch in the world. Coming up.
Who's got bringing those stats
Prick
up?
Fizz.
All right.
We've got all this data these days, mate. It's unbelievable.
It's quicker than all our pitches in Australia. Leeds. Not sure. Colo. Anyway, you're going to go off the data.
It's Colo, wasn't it?
Yeah, no, it's Crick Viz.
Fifth quickest, not the first four. We've got the first four here.
Should make for good viewing, if that's the case.
Well, that's what we're thinking. And if you're going to bring them all back, all the quicks back, all the real heat bowlers, then chances are it's going to be great viewing.
Yep.
Because they're fragile a bit at the top of the order, which is a bit of a concern for Australia, because if Joe Root and Jason Roy get going, if they play, if Roy anyway plays in the third test, we'll be chasing 350-400, which we haven't had to do just yet.
Why? Yeah, that's right. And I think both teams obviously got a few little issues with, you know, probably more with their batting order more than anything, which we probably knew going into the start of the series. It's been a bit of a bowl off so far, I guess you could say. But obviously, yeah, Roy at the top of the order with the Poms and, you know, Bancroft and Khawaja, even Warner not getting any runs through us so far. So it'll be interesting to see what we do. I'm not sure about our batting order. I think they'll stick with Bancroft again. I think maybe the one that might be under a little bit of pressure is maybe Khawaja. I know, as weird as it sort of sounds, he's got a couple of starts, but yeah, I just think they might be looking, especially with Marnus now coming in and doing very well last night, making 50 off, you know, over 100 balls and helping us save the test. But yeah, I'm not sure. Obviously, we've got to wait on Steve Smith's fitness as well.
He's an intriguing person, Manus Labuschagne.
He's bought a lot of overs in Canterbury this year. He's bought a lot.
19 wickets, wasn't it?
I don't know. I just keep hearing about the overs he's bowled.
He scored more runs than anyone in Division 2.
He's made 1,000 runs.
But his record at Shield Cricket is only okay, and he didn't have a great summer last summer, but he seems to get runs at important times or in difficult conditions. I mean, he was one that got quite a few in the intra-club.
Yeah,
in difficult conditions, and then to come out and do what he did is pretty impressive. He wasn't playing in the match.
Yeah, I know.
Come out and essentially save Australia.
It's interesting because I think he got picked in the Sydney Test. Was it either last year or the year before? Yeah. Averaging 24.
Last year, yeah.
Finished the Australian summer averaging 21. Goes to County Division 2, gets a few hundreds, and gets picked, and now makes 50. Having not been even on the team sheet.
That's right.
So, yeah, it's an interesting one, isn't it? And now, by doing so, he's probably, as I just said there, he's putting a few blokes under the pump. So he's right in calculations probably for the third test.
Because I was kind of thinking, well, what would they do if Smith, this is before Marnus batted, what would they do if Smith couldn't play? Because they've only got two reserve batsmen, Labuschagne and Harris. So would they bat Harris at 3, or they put Bancroft down to 3 and Khawaja to 4, and then all of a sudden Labuschagne comes out and does what he does. You kind of got to play him because Langer loves him.
Yes, he seems to. And I'm concerned about the top of the order. I want to talk about that after the break. 22 past 8 on a Monday morning. Cameron White, our cricket expert, with us in studio discussing the Ashes. And we've got Leeds in, well, Thursday, isn't it? For Leeds, yep. The third test.
Quick turnaround.
After a draw in the second test. I want to talk about the top of the order. You mentioned before that they'll probably play Warner and Bancroft. Surely there's a conversation to be had to get Marcus Harris in there, Whitey.
No doubt. I think there would have been before, obviously, test one. And again, after test two, and now it'll be the same conversation as again. But maybe the circumstances around this, I know they've missed out. Both of them basically at the top of the order, but rain around. I know they'll be keen to, stick with those two. Warner's obviously got plenty of credits in the bank, probably. And bringing Bancroft in, do you give him another test, another opportunity?
They keep talking about this flaw. He's got a flaw against this English attack. What is it?
Basically his front foot still locking off, getting too far across, and then once they bowl in quite straight to him, he's got to sort of force his hands out at the ball to get access to the ball, which makes him square up. So he's susceptible to a couple of things. If the ball sort of obviously nips in or fades in late, he can be at LBW, and vice versa. When you're throwing your hands at that, and something like Stuart Broad, you can see deliberately bowling to the left hand is the ball he bowled Warner with in the first innings. The complete opposite ball, or the reverse ball to Cameron Bancroft as a right-hander, is very dangerous, something that leaves him off the pitch. So,
yep.
As I sort of said after that first test match, it's a bit of a worry, I think, that matchup particularly.
So would you think, I know Harris has been sitting on the sidelines for a little while now, but was making some runs before the start of the test series. Is it easy to come in after what he's seen in the first two tests and do a role?
He'd be batting for days in the nets at the moment and getting every opportunity, to get as much preparation in as he could. They had that practice match which he made versus, I can't remember who it was in between test one and two, but a county side, and he made 60 in that. So, he's got some, time in the middle, so he'll be ready to go. He's not the sort of person that sort of takes a little while to get into his sort of work either. Mm. He'll be positive. He'll look to score. All those sort of things. With that being said, until sort of Bancroft, he's getting out in this in these test matches, he's doing a good job. Like, because at the moment, with the way Jofra in particular is bowling, he was wearing him down the other night, but eventually, he got out. But if he can, there's a job there for Bancroft to do, but he's obviously got to do it well. It's not really about scoring runs at the moment for him. If he can bat time and face a lot of balls, so, when the middle order get in, Jofra's, got 10 or 15 overs under his belt already. That I can see where the type of job that I'll be looking for him to do.
I think what's probably helping him is that Warner's not making runs. So it's sort of like, as Cameron says, at least he's occupying the crease, because often it's Warner's out. So he's trying to consolidate a period of time. The question I've got for you, because it's happened to Hanscom that he's playing international cricket. England worked out a technical flaw in him and he couldn't get himself out of it. And the same seems to be happening with Bancroft. How can you change a technical flaw through a series or even through a Sheffield Shield season? Or is it something that it's so dramatic, the change, that you can only do it in a pre-season because you've got to start to keep almost, you know, having confidence in your own technique that nah, it'll work, it'll work?
The answer to the question is yes, but it's going, it would take an unbelievably courageous like decision to go, right, I'm just going to do something totally different and commit to that in a game, having maybe just done in the nets for a couple of sessions. So yes, you can, but yeah, the confidence to be able to do that and make the decision would be a huge change, especially straight into a test match. But on the, I guess the flip side is maybe if he doesn't make the change, it, he might be out anyway.
He bowled around the wicket, David Warne, just might as well just drop his bat and go. It seems to be the issue.
It's bloody good bowling, though. Like, yeah, it's high skill from Broad. Like, he brings one back into Warner, which bowls him, and then he bowls it almost identical, the same way to Matty Wade, sort of bringing them back in.
Yeah.
Matt's making decisions, play, leave, and then floats up a sort of an outswinger, which leaves him from full, and he has to commit to play.
Yeah.
And nicks it to, was it, third slip, and Stokes takes a good catch, so... That was in the first thing. So he's got 300, is it 400 wickets now?
Yeah, Abroad? He's
it's very good. Skillful. Looks like scrambled seam, you know, on TV. You think, oh, he's not hitting the seam, but that's all on purpose. That's very, very skillful stuff.
He's been underrated this series with what he's done. I mean, especially in that first, because if it wasn't Steve Smith, they wouldn't have won the first Test Australia.
Yep, true.
And Broad did that without Anderson, and then to do even what he did, I think, in this Test match, he still bowled extremely well.
Mm. Mark's on the road. Give us a call and wants to have a chat about the cricket overnight. G'day, Mark.
Hey guys, just a few things. I just think Warner's not suited to English conditions. I think they should drop him and bring Harris in. He just hasn't got the right defence. He needs things perfect for him to bat well, and he's not going to get those conditions. The other thing was I definitely wouldn't play Smith, leave him cherry ripe for Test 4. That'd be a massive advantage. And then I'd like Cameron's opinion on whether Jofra Archer, he bowled 40 overs. He's young and he's not seasoned in Test cricket. He's going to be a stiff boy. And whether he probably won't be cherry ripe, I wouldn't have thought, for the next Test.
Thanks, Mark, for your call. On Jofra, the 40 overs, you were talking before about he ambles up. So not exactly exerting huge energy, but 40 overs are still 40 overs. You've got to get to the crease and get through it.
Yeah, that's right. And he does amble up, which means there's a hell of a lot of effort going through at the crease. So,
yeah.
You know, you can't bowl that quick and not put a lot of effort in, I don't think. Although he's obviously genetically blessed. So he will, you know, of course he's going to pull up sore. He would be bowling. He probably wouldn't have bowled that at that intensity for a long time and over that many overs. So it'll be interesting to see how he does pull up with a very short break between tests. So that's watch this space. The Warner one, it's a bit interesting for me. I'm not so worried about his technique and those sort of things, but then he's dropping a couple of catches, which is a bit unusual for him. So is he in the, you know, is he in the right sort of headspace at the moment? Obviously, there's a lot been going on over the last sort of 12 months and, you know, big World Cup. You know, where's he at with his, you know, with Test cricket? That's probably just, obviously, I know nothing and I'm just sitting there watching the TV, but it's just a bit unusual for him to be sort of, you know, sort of maybe not, is his head in the game sort of thing.
Yeah, interesting. Mm. Interesting analysis on that. We've got a couple of days to see whether or not the lineup will change and whether or not David Warner can regain some form if he's a part of the team. Just quickly before we let you go, Michael Felgate's not too far away. The subtle change in the England batting order from the first innings to the second innings, Butler and Stokes swapped spots. Butler was 5 first innings and Stokes was 6. They flipped that in the second innings. But Stokes goes on to make 100 beating 100. And Butler batted well for his 31, did a really good job at that time to save the game or take it away from Australia effectively, particularly yesterday morning, their time. Do you think they'll go with that? And how big a difference can those subtle variations make in a batting lineup, 6-5 and 5-6?
Yeah, they'll stick with it now, for sure. I think those subtle variations are fine as long as it doesn't affect the individual player, as long as the player doesn't go, you know, doesn't feel uncomfortable about that. Whereas, you know, looking at Butler and Stokes, I don't think, you know, they're pretty good mates. I don't think it's going to be, it'll just be a tactical probably thing.
Yep.
I'd imagine probably something to do with Nathan Lyon. But Stokes, you could sort of tell even in his early innings last night, looked very confident, obviously goes on to get 100.
Mm.
And Butler's bloody good. Like, I know he hasn't done much yet, but I think he's still got a, if he gets conditions to suit where the wicket sort of gets in and the top order have done some sort of job and they're 4-200 and he comes in, he's a very, very dangerous player. So they could, those two players in particular could have a lot to say on how this series sort of plays out.
for those that haven't seen it, by the way, have a look at Denley's catch to get rid of Tim Payne.
Oh,
unbelievable.
Yes.
Soccer goalkeeper type stuff. But Paul Collingwood took quite a few like that.
Been some good catches in this series.
Speaking of people under pressure, is our captain under any pressure at the moment?
He wouldn't want to be going out like that again.
He's had a couple of moments so far.
Compulsive hooking is going to be a problem because he's just going to get that all the time now.
We'll see. Who's the advantage with in leading into Test 3? Why did before that you go?
Well, we're one up, but was there a bit of a momentum shift in this Test match?
I reckon there was.
I'm a bit worried.
I don't want to hear that from you. You know stuff.
Steve Smith is, if he doesn't play, I know Mark just called in and said, leave him cherry ripe, make sure he's cherry ripe for Test 4, but if he's fit, he's playing.